The boys continue the Pride Month Movie Fest with the Spanish film Bear Cub. Does the bear culture translate outside the U.S.?
I get it. It's subtitled.
Anyways, they head to the theater to check out Ryan Reynolds and his translucent costume in Green Lantern. Did the studio get it right? The movie, that is, not the costume. Lastly, they head to the future to find out if Anonymous should be identified as a movie they want to see. All this movie news about Jamie Foxx, Pirates hitting the all-time top 10, a new Pixar project, and Hollywood says goodbye to a jackass. Wait for your mind to be blown. I pledge allegiance to a lantern.
The past.
You telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
The present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. If you're looking at now, sir, everything that happens now is happening now.
The future.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
And I'm telling you, it's great here.
You're listening to COL Movies.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new reel of COL Movies. My name is Jeff, and I would like to introduce my fearless co-hosts for the week, Ray and Steve. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hanging in there.
All right. So we've got a pretty good show for you today, I think so, at least for the movies we watched, in my humble opinion. I'm hoping you guys feel it, too. And but before we actually get to those movies, let's get to the news.
News on the mark.
For Quentin Tarantino news, with Jamie Foxx being cast in Django Unchained.
Yeah, we talked about this a few episodes back, mainly because Leonardo DiCaprio was the one that was announced in the movie, but they were still searching for a lead character, and I know they had thrown out names like Mr. Will Smith and a couple other people. Not a whole lot of details either about what this movie was going to be about, and I think it was around the time that we were what the heck movie was it? Rango. That was the episode, because I thought it was funny that we had talked about a movie named Rango and with a movie called Django. Yeah. So anyway, Jamie Foxx has been cast as lead, and we have some details on what this is going to be about. From the article, it says it's the writer-director's revenge-driven, quote-unquote, Southern, I guess that's a genre, would feature Foxx's Django, a freed American slave who teams with a German bounty hunter, played by Christopher Waltz, to save his wife from Calvin Candy, an evil plantation owner, to be played by Leonardo DiCaprio. DiCaprio is an evil plantation owner. That's the only part of this I'm having a hard time swallowing. But then again, whenever I see Leonardo DiCaprio, I still think about, what was that sitcom? Not Family Ties, Alan Thicke.
Oh, I know.
What do we do, baby, without
No,
that's Family Ties.
Oh, that's Family Ties. Oh, Growing Pains.
Growing there Pains, yes, yes. I still think of him in Growing Pains as the bad kid. So
the bad influence.
Has he ever played a villain? Can we think of a movie where he's played a villain?
Leo?
Sure, he must have.
Yeah.
What did he play in Gangs of New York?
He wasn't a villain. He was just like a gang member.
Aviator who was hard. He's Catch Me If You Can, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, that was more of a...
Because he was like a hero, but not like a hero.
He was more of an anti-hero.
Yeah, The Man in the Iron Mask.
I never saw that, so...
Yeah, basically he plays his own twin. So there's two of them. One is our hero, the guy in the mask, and one is the guy who put him there, King Louis.
Okay. So we've got another revenge movie from Tarantino, which I guess is okay. He seems to do them well. I don't know. I'm sort of interested in it. I don't know about you guys.
Django.
Yeah.
We should watch the original Django sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Django.
anyways.
And I know this next item we talked about a little bit when we talked about the movie, hoping that there would never ever be another Pirates of the Caribbean, or you know, at least I was hoping there would never ever be another one. But with the news I'm about to share, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty sure bet that there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides has entered the all-time top 10 grossing films. It has just crossed $956.7 million earned worldwide. It's passed up Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's shortly about to surpass Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. So here's the crazy thing that I find about this. It's reached this lofty goal with 76.8% of its sales coming from international territories.
Wow.
Yeah, so domestically it only did $221 million, which isn't bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't remember how much it cost to make the movie, but I don't think it was as expensive as the other ones. But overseas, it's collected $735.2 million. They love them, their Pirates of the Caribbean overseas. So
I wonder if it's because Johnny lives in Europe.
Maybe.
You know, and he's kind of got some of that base there.
I would guess with almost a billion dollars that they're going to make.
Yeah, they're going to be like, we can do another one. And if that falls through, well.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if maybe they shift the focus of its release to overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes out sooner overseas than it does over here. I don't know. We'll see. But speaking of release dates, the ever busy Pixar has set. I love how they set the release date so far in advance. They've set their release date for a new project. What they won't tell anybody what it is or what it's about or what the name of it is. but they've set a date. So there will be another new Pixar movie coming out November 27th, 2013.
Dang.
Yeah. So their next movie coming out is Cars 2, which comes out Friday. It's followed by Brave, which I really hadn't heard nothing about until this week. I guess we get a little bit of a teaser before Cars 2.
I think I saw something about that.
I've seen the poster, and it's supposed to be their first attempt at a quote-unquote fairy tale. So it sounds like it's going to be interesting. I hope it turns out to be as interesting as the trailer or the poster looks. So that's that. They've got that pegged for June 22nd, 2012. And then Monsters University, which is the Monsters, Inc. sequel, June 21st, 2013. So they're going to be knocking three of them out. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the good things about working in animation.
Yeah, and that's, that's the thing is that's like when a year.
Yeah.
You got Cars 2 this year, which is, and then right around the same time next year, Brave, around the same time the following year, Monsters University. And in the meantime, they're also working on another project, which could either be a continuation of a current IP, Incredibles, please, or a brand new IP. So,
yeah, it seems like they like to hit those either summer blockbuster or holiday movie times. Yeah. That seems to be their forte. So,
I find it kind of interesting that they're doing Monsters University. How long? When was the original? When was Monsters that done? Yeah.
You're asking like when did it come out?
Yeah,
2001.
Yeah.
So I guess they're trying to pull a Toy Story 3 and tug on the heartstrings of the kids who grew up on that movie too.
It's crazy to think that it was 10 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah. My God, I can't believe
it. I wonder if it means that, you know, like that Blue and they're you know, it's graduating. Going on to college.
No, this is. I think this is more of a prequel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's them in
school.
Yeah.
Learning how to be monsters.
Yes. 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 Fair enough. So, and then we end today with a bit of sad news. As I'm sure probably everybody has heard, Ryan Dunn, one of the many stars of the TV and movie series Jackass passed away on June 20th. In the early morning hours of June 20th, he was driving his Porsche. Porsche at they're thinking at about 130 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And lost control of it, and it just wasn't pretty. So he had just turned 34 June 11th, so it wasn't too far from his birthday. So I know that a lot of the cast members are pretty torn up about it, and I always enjoyed the Jackass stuff, so it's kind of, although not surprising, I'm kind of shocked it took this long for one of them to kind of go out with a bang, to tell you the honest truth.
But I think we all kind of assumed it would be because like of a stunt gone wrong or something, you know, when it comes to those kind of things.
Right. He was probably the last one I figured would kind of go out, though. I would have pegged Steve-O.
Steve-O first.
Yeah. The recently sober Steve-O, actually. So.
Well, that brought, if it's recently sober, that's probably what actually made sure that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
So. Because in this case, I believe they did find out that it was drunk driving. That
well, they haven't. It's going to be 6 to 7 more weeks before the toxicology report comes out. But yeah. There were pictures taken. Yeah, there's all this controversy about it because there were pictures taken of him drinking at a bar.
Yeah, he was tweeting. He was tweeting pictures. No,
I thought the results, at least of the whether there was a. What the blood alcohol content was came back already.
No,
that's what I heard on the morning stream this morning.
Yeah, toxicology reports are still out.
Yeah, usually, especially when there's that sort of carnage.
There wasn't a whole lot to go on.
Yeah, blood alcohol levels are not the easiest thing to discern, so it takes a while.
They were able to discern what he died from.
Yeah,
but they weren't necessarily able.
Well, that was kind of a that was a little obvious.
Well, they say that he died from the impact of the crash, not the fire.
Yeah,
you know that kind of thing. You know, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So they've been able to determine that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's easier than determining if it was because of too much alcohol or you know alcohol poisoning. Those things, that's much harder. But you know,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure. He didn't die because he was drunk. He died from results of possibly being drunk.
Yet, correct.
Yep. And that what's caused the crash. But the crash was what killed him. So
yeah,
that's what I mean by that. It was pretty obvious. Oh, something in the crash was what killed him.
Right. Yep.
But so, I know nothing about the Jackass stuff. But if anything, at least don't drink and drive, kids. Moving on. That is the news and going to the past.
You're telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Going back in time, we are taking a look at Cachorro, or Bear Cub, as it's known in the States. This was released in 2004, and I actually saw it in a theater, believe it or not.
Whoa.
It's 77% fresh in Rotten Tomatoes, 77% audience. Nice, even keel there.
Yeah.
Directed by somebody whose name is Spanish that I cannot pronounce besides his first name, which is Miguel, which I'm okay. I'll say Albedalejo is the closest I can do for that. Starring Jose Luis Garcia Perez, David Castillo, and Empar Ferrer. I can't roll my R's. Anyways. So this is a Spanish movie, so of course there's subtitles. Cachorro literally translates as puppy, pup, or cub. That's the actual name of the movie, but how it shows up on... how you find it on for the DVDs, it's listed as Bear Space Cub.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see this in a theater. I just like heard about it. I don't remember how, and I think probably through one of the newsletters for the North Country Bears. And we went down to the what was that name? That district. There's a district in Minneapolis, which is kind of the gay district. and went to one of the theaters there, and we got to see. It was nice.
Oh, I have a question for you, Jeff. The mm-hmm. version that you saw, was it the DVD version, or was it the unedited version?
The one I saw in the theater was the edited version.
Okay.
It was not the version that which I have on DVD, which I watched earlier today.
Okay.
As I can tell you right now, I did not see cock at the beginning of this movie.
When you were at the theater, right?
Yeah. So I only know that the version that I watched on DVD was the edited one.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Actually, I'm okay with seeing the edited one. In fact, I think I'm much better off for seeing the edited one because if I saw penis that early in the movie, I would have just
turn it off.
Soiled my opinion of it.
Okay, so if anything, we need to get you a copy of the unedited version so you can see that as well, knowing
the rest of the movie. I know. I have located a copy of the unedited version, or actually one was given to me after seeing this, so I have not watched it.
Fuzz has seen a lot. Fuzz has just seen a lot of penis lately in these movies.
I have no idea.
And he's so scarred from, I think, last week's.
And you know what? There's more penis in this movie than there was in Bear City.
No.
Seriously. Although there was more sex in Bear City than there were in this movie.
But there was not more penis than in Star Booty.
No. It's hard to do that without actually being a bore.
The other thing, it's not in our trivia, but somebody, and I can't confirm or deny this, somebody told me that Mr. Perez he's straight, not a gay man, so.
That's too bad.
What I kind of was really pleased about this movie is this is the kind of movie where it's like the fact that the main character is in the bear community or is a bear or likes bears is not shoved in your face in this movie. And it's not, you know, it's not like the focus of the movie. It just happens to be part of his personality, or you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just part of him. It's just part of his life. It's not over the top. It just so happens to be, you know, you could take that whole part out of this movie and this movie would still be
mm-hmm.
good. You know,
it's like I was thinking of that too. And it's like, it's not being exclusionary or cliche like Bear City was.
Right. It's not pandering.
Right. It's not to be like, we are bears and they are twinks and they are
mm-hmm.
this and they are that. It was just that this group of guys happened to, you know, all be bears and that's how they identified themselves. And that's the group that hung out, you know, but it wasn't like they were trying to make themselves exclusive.
Right. And what I really sort of liked about this was that it didn't, this, you know, the character's not a perfect individual. He's flawed. And it doesn't do anything to glorify his flaws. It just kind of presents them as far as, like, you know, this is who this guy is and this is what he does. I like the fact that it didn't kind of, like, try to stereotype him as a type of person or whatever. It just sort of ran with who he was, you know. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about the scenes where basically where he's out cruising,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it was very sort of handled very sort of nonchalantly. It's like it was just sort of, I would, you know, it's a scene that I could have seen in any other movie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But of course, he gets the same kind of treatment from his family that everybody else says. You should settle down. You need to calm down. You need to be, you know. Like, but that would have been in any movie,
right?
You know, yeah. Anybody who was out doing anything gay, straight, or whatever, you know, he's got the sister trying to be like, "You need to calm down. You need to find a husband." You know, yeah.
When am I going to get grandkids? You know, yep. It's the same. You know,
yeah.
If anything, it helps kind of center him as far as, you know, he's running into the same sort of things that every person might run into. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exclusive. It's not, you know, it's not pandering at all.
Exactly. And I think some of that is what leads to my question to the group,
mm-hmm.
which is ultimately, you know, is this about, you know, because the movie is called Bear Cub. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have a predisposed notion about what the movie might be. But is the movie about the cub or the bear? You know, in that case, and I'm just curious what you guys think. Is it about the boy in his life, or is it about him adapting to having the boy in his life? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of a
Well, it's kind of a combination of the two. I mean, it is bear cub,
bear and cub. So it's more bear and cub,
really. And but I think the idea is more of all of a sudden. This guy has someone he needs to take care of. He has a, you know, a little cub to take care of. And he ends up he's a bear. So, you know, kind of that's where the cub would come into that. But the story is about the guy taking care of the boy and his relationship with the boy.
I think it's sort of, I think you could go either way and say that, you could do the literal thing, which is that the kid is the cub and he's the bear and he's got to take care of him. But I also can see sort of how, the main character, he is sort of forced to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got this lifestyle that he's leading where he's sort of seems very open and free, and he's basically used to doing whatever he wants to do. He doesn't have anybody that he has to worry about other than himself. So, like, the scenes where he's talking to his friends and they're all kind of like, you know, oh, you never go out anymore. And, you know, he's always about, like, you know, well, I can't. I have to take care of my nephew. And, you know, when he yells at his friend for smoking, you know, they have this huge, you know, argument about smoking. And, like, there's so many people in this movie that smoke. It's kind of fun. It's kind of jarring.
It's very Spanish.
One of my favorite parts of that was the fact they're sitting at the table and he's going to roll a joint. And he says, don't roll a joint in front of the kid. And then the kid says, I know how to roll a joint.
I know.
My mom smokes. Yeah. Cause his mom is such a free spirit.
Right. But yeah, so I think that it could be seen as him growing up as well as him taking care of his nephew, sort of at the same time.
The cub mm-hmm. becomes a bear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would concur. You know, it's just one of those things that it makes me wonder. You know, I'm just curious what people thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it comes to knowing we just saw Bear City and now we're watching Bear Cub and things like that. And I was just curious what y'all thought as far as is either one better than the other, or is, you know, is one a better movie
than the other? And I have to say, is this a trick question?
Yeah, okay.
Because this movie, to me, this movie is obviously a better movie. Don't get me wrong. Bear City, fun. I enjoyed it. But overall, Bear Cub, I adore. And not just because of the nakedness at the beginning of the movie. Well, I mean, just the movie in general, I love.
All right. I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, you've got these two movies. And while I could say it really comes down to what you're looking for. I mean, I could see some people really being not into Bear Cub as much as Bear City. But if you're looking at a purely technical level, I mean, it's got a much better story. I think it was shot much more cinematically.
True.
Bear City was. Yes. You know, Bear City to me felt like a couple guys running around with some high-end camcorders, where Bear Cub feels much more like a film to me. So, and acting-wise, I think Bear Cub's got it nailed hands down.
Yeah.
Or pause down as it may case. So, you know, to say which is better, I don't know if I could say one is better than the other. You know, again, I enjoyed Bear Cub more than Bear City.
Okay. And I would think that that's fair, too. You know, I kind of compare them like when you see a serious gay movie. It's like almost like comparing I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but this is kind of just all I can come up with right now. Like Brokeback Mountain versus Eating Out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right. Like one of them is more of the comedy, rompy one, or Brokeback Mountain versus Adam and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or that something like that, where it's just like one of them is clearly geared for one kind of emotional response, while the other is geared for the other. But at the same time, they can both exist.
Oh yeah.
You know, I wouldn't pull either one of them out of the shelf. You know, but the experience of watching Bear Cub, you know, I think a lot more people can relate to in some ways.
Oh, but, yeah. I think I identify much more with Bear Cub than I did with Bear City.
Mm-hmm. That's because you're a big hoe.
I'm tricking every night.
Going down to the bathhouse.
Yeah. Picking up people under the underpass. Yeah. It's like they tore a page out of my book.
This is actually a translation of your autobiography. Your sister did go to India and get thrown in jail for drug trafficking, right?
Yeah. No.
He's like, no. They're like, no.
No, not at all. So, no, I identify more because I know what it's like to be sort of thrust into a situation that you're not expecting, that you have to sort of step up and sort mm-hmm. of be the person that you didn't think you could be. You know?
I really can see that.
That was nice. He had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the money to work with.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, hell, if I was a dentist and single, and I'd be partying it up, too. making some mad cash. But
overall sweet movie, very enjoyable. I think anyways we'll get into that, but it sounds like we need to go into what we've learned three things from this movie. When cruising out in public, best to keep an eye out for PIs with cameras. Holy cow, Spanish people talk fast. By the way, side note, if you're going to watch this movie, you're going to have to watch this movie.
Yeah, you
got to keep up with the subtitles.
Yeah, unless you're fluent
in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to read quickly. It doesn't pause at all. And, I know, Steve, you had posted the link to Logo, I think it was.
Yeah.
I actually couldn't watch that one only because the subtitles were screwed up for some reason in the beginning.
Oh, it worked. It worked for me.
So I ended up getting my DVD from Netflix in time, though. I got it the day before.
Oh,
yesterday,
good.
So. I just bought the darn thing.
Yeah. I know, some of us are made of money.
Exactly.
It's like cheap. It was like less than 10 bucks, I think. Anyway, there are a bunch of hot bears in Madrid. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Spain is definitely on my list of destination cities, countries.
If I weren't so fearful for the fact that I can't speak Spanish, it's like I don't want to force people in their own native country to have to speak English. Although I think there were probably a ton of people who speak English, so it's probably not that big of a deal. But, yeah. That's my only
You just care. Need to know. Yeah, just you just need to worry about knowing a couple of words. Mm-hmm. It'd be like power bottom.
As in what I'm looking for?
He's like, just kidding.
Tú eres un power bottom?
Oh, Lord.
I hope I conjugated the Sarah.
ba-dum-bum.
I just need to translate power bottom. Anyways, recommendation for this movie. This is a bear movie that should be on every Bear's DVD collection. You should buy it. Don't screw this whole rental thing. Get the unedited version. Maybe have an edited copy around if family or friends want to decide they want to watch it. If you haven't seen it before, you really, really should. And just get the darn thing. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, out of the ones we've watched, finally we get to see a quote unquote bear movie that I would not be ashamed to show my friends. So at least the edited version. Some of my friends wouldn't mind the unedited version, but yeah. So I enjoyed it.
Definitely an interesting movie for me. I don't know that it's my favorite kind of gay movie, but I enjoy it, and it's definitely a cuddly coming of age story.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's very good. Check it out, folks.
It's a good thing. That's what Martha would say.
It's a good thing. Yeah. Moving on into the present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
Now we're taking a look at Green Lantern, which is 26% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes and 60% of the audience. We do not have a consensus here again.
Yeah.
Apparently.
This film was getting raped.
Yeah.
The day it came out, I was just like, holy cow, I was worried. I'm like, this is going to be bad. But. Surprisingly enough, to me, it wasn't as bad as the reviews were.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I don't get it. I don't get what was so awful about this movie that, you know, that it's getting such bad press and everything.
I know Green Lantern. Maybe not like the one with the most extensive knowledge of Green Lantern, but I know Green Lantern. And yeah, this really wasn't that bad of a movie. It wasn't a great movie by any means whatsoever. And there was a few probably nitpicky little things that the comic book geeks might not like necessarily. And it had plenty of weak points. But overall, I thought it was a good movie.
Well, I was surprised mainly because I was off. Well, I was on vacation last week. And so, just for giggles, I said, what the hell? I'll go to the premiere. You know, when they play it at 12:01
right
here at the theater near me. Now, generally with these big budget, you know, these big budget blockbusters, when they do the premieres around here, like if the lines are out the door, you know, when they're, you know, releasing pirates and things like that, that's out the door. Well, I went to this one and I was like, oh, I just walked up and bought a ticket. What's that about? And then, you know, I went in and there were maybe 50 people in a 400 seat theater for a 12:01 showing at the mall, you know, which is, you know, maybe I didn't go to the right one, or maybe the AMCs around here should have just shuttled it all into one. Maybe everybody went to go see it at the IMAX, which was not where I went to see it. Cause there were like five or six 12:01 showings in town. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Tampa. So I expected that to be a little more busy than it was, but I was quite surprised that there was so much space in the theater.
I think it was the critical reviews.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because the critical reviews really didn't like the movie at all. And, but when you get to the audience, when people actually go see the movie, it ends up being they have a completely different opinion. And
I had issues with things in the movie, but I guess I didn't have things that like made me like angry enough to dislike it. I mean, some of the things were sort of annoying. Like, all right, we open the movie where we talk about how there was this creature who had to be trapped by the most powerful Green Lantern. I can't remember. I can never pronounce his name right.
Armand Sewer.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
Armand Sewer. Sewer.
The giant purple alien, whatever his name was.
Pinky.
So he correct me if I'm wrong here. They say in the opening voiceover that he helped sort of stop this creature.
He trapped
it. Yes, he's the one who trapped it.
Okay. Did he not share with anybody how he trapped it the first time? Because everyone seemed to be like, we don't know how to stop this thing.
We need him here.
He apparently reported to the Guardians of Oa. I mean, they knew all about it. Mm-hmm. They just didn't end up sharing it with anybody else.
I thought his information was shared via the ring. I mean, they kind of – I see what you're saying. It's like little plot holy kind of things.
Right.
Like, how is it that no one else knows how that happened, yet he's a member of a core, you know? But at the same time, I remember somebody – I think it was Sinestro mentioned, or it was either him or the trainer guy. I forget his name. But there was something about, like, the information is in – you know, is in Abensur's ring,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I guess – that was trying to say that was in that was all in what's his name's mind.
Now, one thing is that sure, information is shared by all the rings, but that information being shared is controlled by the Guardians.
Right,
so, which is not really clear in the movie.
No, it's not clear. I mean, there's just little nagging things like, all right. We see throughout the whole movie these Green Lanterns flying around through space without any sort of ship or anything. They're protected by the energy from the ring or whatever. Mm. Why the heck did the guy in the beginning need a ship? And why did he need an escape? I don't understand why
he needed a ship because he was starting to black out so he couldn't control it because he was severely injured.
Okay.
And because in the origin, he crash lands in a ship.
Okay. So I'm going to ask this. Did you guys see it in 3D or not?
I did.
I did not.
And Steve, what was it?
I liked it in 3D, actually. It felt very much like an animated movie. In 3D because there was so much animation in it.
There's a lot of
CG in this movie. Yeah, there. I mean, so it felt so. When I go see an animated movie in 3D, typically I tend to like it because they're able to build in the depth and do all those kind of things that they can't do in necessarily a fully live action one. So, like, and I think part of it was, as we've talked about before, when the backgrounds and everything are like expansive looking. Mm-hmm. You know, like when they're flying in and out of stuff and they're flying up and around stuff and looking down and, you know, different things like that. Or when you see something grow from the ring, things like mm-hmm. that, it actually had texture and, you know, and things like that. So I thought it was actually really good. I thought it was good for a movie of this type mm-hmm. to be in 3D.
Yeah, I can see that. What was I going to say? But yeah, I mean, there were just little nagging things that kind of drove me nuts with this movie. But not to the point where I was like eye rolling or like, oh my God, what is going on? So one of the things that I thought I put it on here, but maybe I didn't. Do you think that maybe people that were not familiar with the comic books will enjoy this better than people who are like diehard Green Lantern buffs fans?
Well, I think that people probably went to go see this for a lot of different reasons. Some people who like Ryan Reynolds went to go see Ryan Reynolds in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who like action adventure movies went to go see this movie. I think, you know, I can't say that I'm a Green Lantern aficionado by any reason, but, you know, I went to see it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. It made me interested in learning more about Green Lantern and wanting to look up information. And I think I came home and Wikipedia'd a lot of the characters because I was interested in a little more information.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a dork like that.
Like, Parallax isn't really the Parallax that they described it to be.
Right. Yeah. I had a friend of mine fill me in on sort of like all the little discrepancies and One of the things that I was sort of relieved at, though, is because when the first trailer hit for this movie, I was really sort of worried that this was going to be like a campy, sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of movie.
Oh, got you.
And there are moments where, Ryan Reynolds is sort of, you know, got the camp up a little bit, but nothing to the level that I thought it was going to be, so I was rather relieved of that. Because, funny enough, is that this sort of, I guess you could say, the Green Lantern sort of superhero kind of reminds me of a sort of more serious version of The Mask. Like, because he can conjure whatever he thinks of. You know what I mean? It's that it's sort of this a similar concept with The Mask. You know, he can just do whatever and sort of make crazy things happen just with the, you know, when he's got the mask on. So right. The whole construct concept, you know, especially when he did the Hot Wheels thing, you know, I was like, that could be a scene right out of The Mask. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love how they bring that up later. It's like, really? A race car?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you could come up with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they kind of...
Yeah, he wasn't super creative. That's just true.
No, which is it's interesting because if you think about it, the character wasn't super creative or hadn't had time to sort of perfect his use of the power. So the things that he would think of were, I guess you would consider, sort of lame.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, was the audience? Are you shortchanged because you're not seeing the things that he could have done were he more like, even though we didn't really see a whole lot with any of the other lanterns. That was another little tidbit of that pissed me off. Kind of was like, anytime you saw the other lanterns going up against the Parallax dude, they were just like swatted away like flies. Like,
okay. Yeah, that's true. For these people who were like these awesome lanterns, you know, that had been lanterns probably for a long time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just kind of got destroyed. Yeah, so yeah,
steamrolled.
One thing is Parallax, you know, I think here's what I'm thinking. It's a little bit of a theory on how the real origin of Parallax, which I don't really say the same way in the movie. So Parallax is supposed to be a guardian that just got into working with Fear instead of Will as the from the emotional spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I think Parallax is actually the emotional entity for Yellow, for Fear. So I think Parallax inhabited this guardian, and which caused all this raging power, which is also what happened. A little bit of Parallax actually got into Hector Hammond, we haven't brought up so far. All of that is because of what's referred to as emotional entity. Basically, they're this kind of pure entity for that particular color spectrum, and Parallax is that entity for Fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it gets all crazy like that. But one of the big things, and they do mention it in the movie, is you're vulnerable if you fear,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you become invulnerable to it is being able to overcome that fear, overcome that emotion. And that's usually done strongly by your own willpower.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why those lanterns weren't so effective against Parallax was because they had too much fear inside them. So those who could overcome it, which is essentially Sinestro and Hal Jordan, are the ones that would defeat him.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, specifically Hal Jordan.
Yeah, did anybody else also get a sort of Fifth Element sort of vibe from the whole Parallax Hector Hammond connection? Like, you had this evil entity out in space that was headed towards Earth, and you had, you know,
his agent on Earth.
Right, that was sort of like connected to him in some way. You know, if he started, you know, bleeding out of his nose or eyes, I was going to be like, hey, they stole that from the Fifth Element. Yeah, I was just saying, it occurred to me when I was watching it.
I'm just surprised that I didn't
quite understand that connection. How that? I mean, I understand how it happened, but I don't understand how that connection was there, unless it was just because when Hector became infected, that, you know, Parallax was able to sense, ooh, here's a planet with a bunch of fear. Was that what how it happened, or did
it wasn't specifically Hector that was drawing him. It was more of Abin Sur. He was actually, this entire time, he's been chasing Abin Sur. And it just happened that when when Parallax had attacked him, a piece of Parallax broke off into him and then got into Hector Hammond. And it was just affecting him. And I would assume that as he got closer to Earth, he could, you know, sense Hector more, so he went to him as to be, okay, this must be where Abin Sur is, so I can completely destroy him and make sure he's gone out of pure vengeance.
Okay.
Right. It seems like they sort of took origin information of all these characters and sort of just modified them slightly to fit into this whole mythology of the Green Lantern. Like, we're gonna, because from what I read on Wikipedia, that the Hector Hammond character, he was created because he got exposed to some sort of radiation from a meteor. So that's what made his brain get bigger or whatever. So now, instead of it being some crazy meteor, it's a piece of this entity that infects him and makes him big-brained. I love how everybody was so nonchalant about his head.
Like, the way he looked. Yeah, like, yeah, there was not a whole lot of reaction.
Like, they're like, wow, you don't look so good. I'd be like, dude, your head's like 5 times the normal size of a human being. What's wrong with you?
Your head's a little swollen. Maybe we should get some ice.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like,
I know, right? Well, the other thing, the
size of his head, he's really sensitive about it.
The other thing about this movie that surprised me was, I was like, Tina Turner got her ass kicked pretty easy. I expected her to fight back like she was fighting Ike. No, no. You know, and Angela Bassett got flung to the, you know, to the skies. I was like, dang. What?
The mental images going through my head. If only I had a green ring to make them real.
Well, you can do that with a yellow ring too if you wanted to, but we won't get into that.
Well, I mean, and that, well, that's my question. Would you rather have a green ring or a yellow ring?
A green ring.
Why?
Because I'm more willful than fearful.
Is that willing or willful?
Willful.
He's like, willful.
I'm just, see, I have to play the gay card and just be like, I'm going with green because I look much better in green.
Redhead.
Yeah, besides, yellow is fear, which means bad. Mm-hmm. Green, go, good, will, you know.
Okay.
Is there an orange ring?
Yes, only one being has that. His name is, his code name is Agent Orange. Orange is the color of avarice.
Okay.
So pretty much all the actual Orange Lanterns, and I'm going to put that in quotes, are basically constructs from the beings that Agent Orange has killed.
Mm.
So if you want to be part of the Orange Lantern Corps, you would have to be killed by Agent Orange. I'm not sure.
Him and take his ring.
Good luck with that. Now, remember, he's surrounded by constructs of the people who he's already killed.
Yeah.
So good luck getting to him. Just saying. Red is rage. And if you go with the red ring, your blood is replaced by some sort of napalm thing, and it essentially replaces your heart. So if your heart is taken out, you won't die. It's weird.
Mm, nice.
That's the bad side. The good side is on the other side. We've got blue, which is hope. We've got indigo, where you have to speak this weird language. They're this like tribe thing. And that's compassion. And violet are the star sapphires, which, by the way, when they were flying the planes and I first heard Carol's code name of Sapphire, I almost fell on the floor laughing my ass off. So, just saying. And that's love. It's love. That's the star sapphire. So, that is the emotional spectrum for you all. So, I think I'd look better in green.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, what have we learned? We have learned if you're going to bury a supervillain in the middle of a planet, it might be a smart idea to put up some sort of warning signs.
Stay away. Don't step here.
Warning. Extremely evil villain locked up. Please stay away. Something like that. Fanboys can really be annoyed in the theater, especially when we're signing the oath out loud.
Oh, really?
So close to doing that. Blake Lively looks better as a brunette. And where can I get me one of those rings? Apparently it chooses you, though. So go fig. One last thing. Spoiler alert. I am so glad that they're using the modern day Sinister outfit instead of his original outfit, where he looks like a court jester.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad he's using the Sinestro Corps, that it's using the Sinestro Corps outfit versus that one.
Now, y'all did stay to the end, correct?
How do you think I was talking?
Yeah, just making
talking
sure.
About that ring.
Well, I'm just making sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it wasn't like entirely through. They just had that kind of spiffy, fancy credits. They had this thing, and then they went into like the real scrolling credits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I stayed. It was. I mean, it's that their way of saying, "Hey, you know, if we make a sequel, it's going to be."
It's basically saying we're making a sequel. By the way, we just wanted to introduce you to the villain for that one.
We'll see. Anybody know how it's been doing? Is it sequel?
50. It was just around tomatoes. It was got $52.3 million was in first place.
So
okay, yeah, because at last weekend they were not predicting it's gonna make its money back.
It still hasn't.
Which surprised me. Yeah, which surprised me. I didn't think it was that bad of a movie.
I think it was 150 or something. It was in the hundreds for the budget. So they will probably have to make a lot in the internationals or within the next few weeks here in order to actually make that money back. So. Yeah. Anyways, I really liked it. Sure, it wasn't the greatest superhero movie of all time, but it was very, very enjoyable. I think people should check it out. Might be worth seeing in 3D. I actually would need to see it in 3D to verify if it's worth seeing in 3D. But
what, you don't trust me?
Well, I trust you, but I also, you know, check it out myself just in case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I might actually go see it again.
I don't think it. I don't think it lived up to the hype that surrounded it.
Negative or positive?
The sort of positive hype that was building. You know, everyone was looking forward to the Green Lantern because I know a lot of people that are Green Lantern fans. In fact, I was rather surprised that there were so many Green Lantern fans because I always thought Green Lantern was more of a sort of a B-list superhero.
Well, he's tier 2, but there's like 3 or 4 tiers.
Yeah. So, but I again, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but I found I was entertained by it. I wasn't like, you know, it didn't make me angry or annoyed. So I think, as I said, I think it's one of these movies where maybe people who are not so wrapped up or familiar with the source material may be more entertained than people who are.
Probably
just based on the people that I've talked to that are Green Lantern fans, a lot of them, you know, like happens with any sort of comic book film, it seems that, you know, when they mess with the origin, people get all their panties in a wad. So
they were very close to the origin on this one, so they can't complain about not sticking with the origin.
No, but they kept tweaking things, like,
yeah, it still took liberties, and, you know, those people who are gonna be like that are gonna, yeah, they're not gonna want the liberties, they're gonna want it pure. Well, in my world, I enjoyed it. I thought the effects were really good. I liked the 3D. I thought it looked good. Story was easy to follow and kind of, you know, and a fun little, I mean, was it predictable? Hell yeah. But was it a good telling of it? Sure. And I'm really kind of surprised it's not doing so hot in the box office. I don't get it. I don't get how it's not doing that well in the box office. Mm. But, you know.
All right, let's move into the future.
Hi, welcome to the future.
And I'm telling you, it's great here.
In the future, we have Anonymous. No, that's the name of the movie. It's not that we're not telling you the name of the movie. It's
not the hackers.
Anonymous. It's not the hacker group, Anonymous. It's Anonymous. Directed by Roland Emmerich. So he's actually doing something that's not about the end of the world, which I think is a first for him. And it has actually taking place back in time, long, long time ago. And basically it's about, it's a tale of how Shakespeare didn't write his stories. Right. You know, he slapped his name on it, but somebody else did it.
Right.
And some intrigue, and I don't, honestly, it was, the trailer doesn't quite make it clear. It just kind of is saying Shakespeare didn't write his plays, and we're making a movie about that. What? Like, yeah, what, well, specifically is the movie supposed to be about? And
it's well, I mean, there's always been theories about how Shakespeare wasn't actually a real person, how it was either a pen name for one person or a pen name used by a great many people who wrote all these things. And so it's always been a debate in the literary world about, you know, whether or not Shakespeare actually existed at some point. Kind of like, you know, was the Mona Lisa a real model, or was she just, you know, a self-portrait of Da Vinci? And so, but there's people who go both ways. Da Vinci and drag. I would agree, though, because one of the things, I saw this trailer a long time ago, looking for, you know, trailers to put on our list, and the thing that struck me about this trailer is that it's sort of very documentary-ish, but sort of like a hyper documentary. Like, there's so many scenes in it that are like, I'm kind of like, it looks like a Roland Emmerich end of the world sort of flick with a bunch of overhead crane shots with like thousands of people running, and I'm like, what does this have to do with Shakespeare? And it's also got like some crazy I think it's Radiohead, maybe, is in the trailer. So it's using very modern music set against a very old, you know, backdrop. So it's sort of a really weird vibe from the trailer. But as we've seen before, trailers can be sort of manipulated to show whatever they want, really. You could have a trailer look one way and have a movie be completely opposite. What I've guessed from, or gathered from my researching of this film is that it does actually have a story. That it's taking one particular theory that a particular person, Edward de Vere, the Earl of Oxford, was the one who penned Shakespeare's plays, and it's sort of one of those films where you have this whole drama about Shakespeare and who he was, but it's also set about during the succession of Queen Elizabeth I. So you have sort of these two storylines that are sort of intertwining together. So it is an actual movie with an actual story. It's not a documentary about Shakespeare or one of the theories, even though they really are playing it hard that way.
I'm glad you got all that out of it.
Oh, I didn't get that from the trailer, man. That's
well, I mean,
research.
Okay. Well, that, you know, again, that's it's sort of like when we, you know, it reminds me of that. I feel like we're exchanging now. Like that is that time that with oh God, John Galt.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
You know, when we were talking about that, and I was like, oh, I didn't get that from the trailer, so I researched it, you know, and got more information, thought it was interesting, except I'm not interested anymore at all. You know, it's like the opposite land of that, because...
Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged, thank you. I knew somebody was going to remember it. I'm sorry, y'all. I forgot.
Remember, I have this thing called the internet that remembers for me.
Exactly. But... I watched this trailer, and again, it was another one of these trailers where my mind shut off 15 mm-hmm. seconds into the trailer, and then I was just like, really? Like, I mean, first of all, I kind of felt like I saw period film, mm-hmm. and my brain went, ugh! I'm not a huge period film kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I've never really have been. I will watch them now and then, but it's just when I read the topic, I was like, is Shakespeare really? I was like, oh, this is so not me. You know, like, I was just like, this is just not my kind of movie. And so I think immediately my mind shut off. And then in the end, I read the summary that's here, and then it's, you know, I'm like, wow, the political snake pit of Elizabethan England, really? You know, I was like, you know, all these things. I'm like, well, you know what? This doesn't make me sound interested either. So I'm just trying to figure out what makes you interested. If you're interested in it, what makes you interested in it? Is it the trailer? Is it the topic? Is it the, you know, who's going to go see this movie, basically, and build the fan base on it? Is it going to be Shakespeare fans? Is it going to be the conspiracy theorists? Is it going to be the people who love period films? You know, like, who's it appealing to?
I could tell you exactly who it appeals to. It appeals to my sister.
Oh, okay.
Well, she like any sort of Elizabethan period film, she will go see. So it doesn't matter if it's about Queen Elizabeth or
she's a costume ho.
Ooh, yeah, would she see Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies?
She might. She might.
That would be a good test of that theory for sure. I'm thinking this is going to be one of those people. Going to be those people who like political intrigues. Where, especially those who like the period ones, where it's like, what was the politics like back in Elizabethan times? Those type of things, because that's more of what it's going to be. I'm also like a huge Shakespeare fan, so I mean, I already know some of this about you know, some of the works of William Shakespeare may not have been written by him, or they hadn't been written at all, and having. This viewpoint of a possibility about that just gets me right on it. The trailer does nothing for me. Absolutely nothing.
But which is kind of my point. I'm like, plot, a trailer should be drawing you in, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, typically. And it felt like this trailer was just like flat.
Mm-hmm. So if anything, this is a really bad trailer. Whether the movie will be good or not, that's something else.
Yeah.
And I'm interested. But and I think what the good part about what this was it got me interested in being like, okay, so what is this really about? And doing that research, you know, getting you and I just getting you and saying, hey, have you checked this out? Take a look at this.
Yeah.
You know, but without saying much, and then you have to actually actively go look.
But I think that too, that, you know, like, we are probably a little ahead of the curve in the fact that half the time we're watching these things on YouTube, and when we're watching them on YouTube or whatever those resources are, if I don't understand something, I can suddenly click and watch it. But if I'm in, you know, and read more about it, but if I'm in the theater and I'm thinking I've got 2 to 3 minutes to grab the attention of a somebody who's watching a movie right now to get them to come see my movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I would be like, oh, I think I need to go pee real fast, you know, or something, or I'm going to eat my popcorn and look down. I'm not really paying attention to what it has to say. You know, it's not going to draw me into the, well, to see it.
The other thing is too, that makes me think is like a lot of times, you know, movie studios or even theaters will, you know, put trailers on to particular types of movies. So like,
right.
You know, if you go see Pirates of the Caribbean, they will throw some trailers in that may appeal to sections of that audience as they're seeing Pirates of the Caribbean. So they know that they're going to have younger females there who are interested in seeing Johnny Depp or whoever. So they'll throw some trailers in there. Yep. They know that there's people there into adventure films, so they'll throw some adventure, you know, film trailers on that. When I see this trailer, I'm like, what movie would they attach this to? Like, to bring people in. Now, for me, I had a little slightly different reaction to the trailer. To me, of course, because the trailer starts off with, like, modern-day New York. Like, a flyover of modern-day New York.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, what's this? And then when it does the switch into Shakespearean times... I was more interested in the trailer simply because of the actual cinematography of the trailer. Like, I was like, well, that's kind of a pretty shot, and that's an interesting move with the camera, and, you know, why are these people running? Okay, well, it is an Emmerich film, so somebody's got to be running from something, right? And then I start going off on, like, wait, it is an Emmerich film, and it's not about the end of the world, and... Oh my God! He's making a movie about William Shakespeare. He really picked William Shakespeare is to be his. You know, I'm not going to make a disaster flick. Well, maybe he is making a disaster. It's just a different type of disaster. So the trailer kept my attention, but it was for the wrong reasons. You know, it wasn't making me interested in going to the theater to see this movie. But I may still watch this movie at some point in time, you know, if I'm bored and it's on Netflix or something.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it'll come out with a new trailer or something.
Yeah. You know, hopefully one that more emphasizes the actual story that's going to be told in the film.
Yeah, maybe that was just a teaser because it was a short one. And yeah, if they come out with more, it might bring more interest. Maybe what they need to realize is that they're not getting the draw on this trailer, and maybe they need to do one that's going to say more of what the summary's about.
Mm-hmm.
To really get people to come in and want to come in and see it.
Right.
But just judging on a trailer, I was like,
Yeah. So overall excitement. To me, this trailer just doesn't do much for me. The plot does, though. Still iffy on whether it's seen in the theater versus on DVD. It'd probably end up being DVD or...
Yeah. I'm sort of interested in the subject matter. I don't have any sort of issue with the period film or the fact that it's Shakespearean. But to me, it's not a must-see. I not run out in the theater and go see it. I can wait for it to come out on DVD or stream it on Netflix or something. So,
Just in general, not my kind of movie. Blech. That's how you say that typed out word.
Blech. With that, we're going to be next week. We're going to be wrapping up Pride Month, our Pride Month, Mike Pride Month movie challenge will actually be wrapping up at that time. I'm a little behind. I'm working on it. I've got two I haven't posted yet, but we'll be posting that later. Of course, one of them being Bear Cub. But the final movie of my movie challenge here, which I need to watch enough movies to be at number 30 for it, will be the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh, I should check to see if this weekend they're going to be doing one of the live shows or something soon here. Maybe I can go see that before. Also in the present, we got Cars 2. So we got that picture movie and as well as Immortals. There are plenty of ways to contact us. Please let us know what you thought of these movies. We'll read it on a future show. You can comment on our blog at COLmovies.com. Email us at COLmovies@gmail.com. Call the COL talk line. It's at 361-COL-TALK. Leave a voicemail there. Sure, it just says comes out loud, but it's for us too. Leave your message, and we can even play that on the show. You also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/COLmovies, which is essentially pulling from Facebook at facebook.com/COLmovies. Also, please pop on iTunes, leave us a review. We very much appreciate it. And with that, any final thoughts on these three films?
I guess I would say that I'm actually glad that I got to see Bear Cub finally.
This was your first viewing?
Yes. I have this sort of kind of like the way you guys feel about Titanic. Any sort of like quote unquote bear movie, I'm just kind of like, eh. Like, I don't want to watch it. So you guys have forced me to watch a couple movies that I had no interest in.
I remember you, especially Bear City. You were like,
"Well, there's refusing to watch, and there's
being motivated,
really not interested." There's a difference between interest and refusing. So, yeah, I'm still mad at you guys about making me watch a Brokeback Mountain. So,
Bareback Mountain.
You would have probably enjoyed that one.
Only if it was B-E-A-R. Anyways.
I guess my final thoughts on it are just that I really like Bear Cub. Like I said, I think it's also cool that it's available on streaming for now if you want to see it for free on Logo Online. And Choppy, and maybe some of the subtitles might not work, but free is free, right? You get what you pay for. Green Lantern, I still don't understand. Why don't people like Green Lantern? I'm interested in hearing that. If people have anything to say about it.
Well, you know, again,
why don't they like it?
It's 26 critics, 59% audience. So I think audiences are pretty much having the same reaction I'm having, where we're kind of like it's on the good side of mediocre.
Yeah.
You know? It's a good movie. It's something that I think is worth seeing. And it's very enjoyable. Sure, it's not the greatest movie in all the world, but I think it's worth seeing in the theaters, 2D, maybe in 3D. Again, I have to see it in 3D to verify that, but it sounds like it is. So, yeah, go see it. Whether you see it in 2D or 3D, it doesn't really matter. Go see it and see if you enjoy it. So don't take the critic's word on this one. Figure it out for yourself. Yeah. Okay. So that's some good final thoughts. With that, for me, for Fuzz, for Steven, take care, everyone.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That'll do, kid.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. I just stole it from a movie.
They're looking at you, kid.
End of line.